Thank you for listening to the podcast of Faith Baptist Church of Enfield, Connecticut. We hope and pray that these messages from Pastor Gary will be a help to you. You can find out more about our church at www.fbcenfield.com or find us on Facebook. God bless and enjoy the message.
We're going to talk. How many of you sing in the shower? A few of you. We had a joke in our family all the time. They say, my mom or my dad would say, what did you do with the money? I'd say, what money? The money your mother gave you for singing lessons. I don't know how I was so blessed to have a family with musical talent when my musical talent is zero. But since I came to know Jesus, I have a new song. New song in my heart. And we talked about it this morning. We sang about it this morning. This song that God has given to us as Christians, this song of worship, this song of joy, this song of praise, is a song, a melody in our heart that we sing to God. Now, the Israelites were well known for their music. In fact, when they were, there's one of the Psalms that is written, when they were in the land of Babylon, in captivity as slaves, the Babylonians came to them and said, hey, sing us the songs of Jerusalem. We want to hear that music. And they said, we can't sing that music. We can't sing those songs because they're too sorrowful for us because we're not in our land. But today in the church, since Jesus has come to this earth, since he died on the cross, since he rose again, since he went up to heaven, since we are waiting for his return, the songs of God we can sing at any time, anywhere in our heart to God. Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, it says this in Acts, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Now, I don't know what these hymns were, because most of our hymns were written after the Civil War, but they were singing to God. They were in prison. They were closed up in the inner chamber. They were there falsely. They trumped up charges, and they never had the proper trial. They were waiting for what's going to happen the next morning. They weren't crying. They weren't whining. They weren't feeling bad for themselves. They weren't saying they were victims. They were singing the songs of God. And they were singing praises to God. Paul tells us in Ephesians, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And so part of a Christian practice, discipline, if you will, we think of prayer, we think of Bible study, we think of going to church, we talk about discipleship. But one of those Christian practices is singing. Singing to the Lord. I don't know how many times I've had people come to church, and often, more so than the preaching, they comment on the music, the singing, especially when the church is singing together. When we were listening to somebody sent me some music the other night, and it was just so powerful because the whole congregation, you could hear all the voices of the people, and they were all singing, and they were praising God, and that has a powerful effect on people. But I wonder today, have we lost our song? Have we lost our song? Was there a time you used to sing more? When there was a time you were more joyful, have we allowed the burdens and trials and temptations of life to steal our song? The truth is, as Paul and Silas showed us, the Christian today, we have Jesus in our heart. The kingdom of God is within us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We can have this song at any time, in any place, in any circumstance, because Jesus reigns and Jesus has won the victory. And so often we let everything and all the problems and the trials and all the negativity of life steal our song. If we can't sing our song today with all that we have in Jesus, what hope is for the world? Where else are you going to find your song? Where else are you going to find your song if you don't have it in Jesus, if you don't already have that song in Jesus? Psalm 96, like many of the Psalms, and sometimes if you say, well, how can I pray? Just take one of the Psalms and pray that. You can pray that. The Psalms are songs and poems and prayers to God. And so Psalm 96 is one of many Psalms that calls us to worship, calls us to sing. In fact, it starts off verse 1. What does it sing? Oh, sing to the Lord. Don't worry, God. God is not turned off by your voice. You can sit. We have a lot of pews here, so if you have a real bad singing voice, you can like move a little bit. But this is an imperative. Sing. And so four thoughts about this new song. He says, sing a new song. Four thoughts about this new song. He says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Number one, it's a song of renewal. A song of renewal. He says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. And so when the Bible talks about this new song, talks about it in Isaiah, it's really talking about renewal, about regeneration. That the God that created everything is the God that brings to us every day a new day. Have you never noticed that the sunrise is never the same? Like when people post on Facebook, they'll post pictures of how beautiful it is, the sunrise, the sunset, the colors, the cloud formation. Every day, the God that created and the God that sustains us can give us a new hope and a new day. Every day is a new day with God. So it's a song of renewal, and the fact that no matter how down we get, no matter how much we've messed up, no matter how much we've failed, every day is a new day. Every day is a new lease on life. Every day the sun rises. God is alive. God is real. God wants to work in our lives. And every day, think about this, every day we get closer to Jesus. Amen? Every day we get closer to Jesus. We know Jesus is coming, and we know if we're a Christian and we've been born again, that what does the Bible say about death? Death is a step. Right? Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so every day this song we can sing because we know we're getting closer to Jesus. Verse 2 says this, sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation. Notice, from day to day. What did Jesus say? Take up your cross daily. We can have this song every day. You don't have to just have it on Sunday. You can sing this song every day. You can sing it in your car. You can sing it as loud as you want. I remember we used to do games with couples in Romania. One of the games we would do is we'd take headphones, and you'd have somebody put the headphones on, you blast the music in the headphones, and then you tell them to sing the song that's in the headphones. It's pretty funny. Especially, sometimes they'd be into it, and the voice was so awkward. But you can listen, proclaim the good news of his salvation. Okay, so we like to look around and talk about all that's negative in the world and blah, blah, blah. But if we can't proclaim God as redeemed, saved people, in some ways, this is a missional psalm. Because it's talking about proclaiming this news, proclaiming his salvation every day, proclaiming, hey, I got something different. The economy may be down and I may lose my job or I may have an ailment, whatever it is, but Jesus is Lord and every day is a new day. And I have eternal salvation with Christ. So it's a new song. Verse 3, declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among the people. Do you know that some of the most popular podcasts today are Christian podcasts, Bible podcasts? Because the good news is going out. The good news is going out. People are hearing the good news. You know where the biggest revival is happening right now? In Iran, of all places. Because the gospel is going out. The gospel is being proclaimed. And as a church, it's our mission to proclaim the gospel. But if we've lost our song, we can't sing. We allowed everything to take our song. How can we proclaim the good news? We proclaim the good news through our lives, through our song. You see, when we sing, it gives us hope. When we sing, we're looking to the promises of the scripture. When we sing, we're letting everything go and we're directing it all towards Jesus. So it's a song of renewal. Then it's a song of supremacy. A song of supremacy, verse 4 says this, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared, notice, above all gods. It made me think of that Michael W. Smith song, which actually wasn't written by him. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you are here before the world began. There's a couple of guys that wrote this song. They were meditating upon how much better Jesus is than anything in the world. And how God was above all the ways of man, all the philosophies of man, all the pleasures of man, how God was to be exalted. And they wrote this song, and the writer actually put it away, and his friend came along and made the melody, and we sing it today. Above all. He is above all. Notice what he says, for all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heaven. See, we sing because Jesus is above all. It's a song of supremacy. It's a song of, we're not just thinking, well, some force or some, we're talking about a God that created the world, that sustains us, that keeps us, that has the power to create, that has the power to perform miracles, that has the power to deliver us from anything that's holding us down. He is supreme. He is above all. Verse 6 says this, honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. When we think of God, sometimes we don't think of beauty, but how many times have you been on a mountain or been on the ocean or been experienced a sunrise or a sunset? What have you said? How beautiful. How awesome. How picturesque. Why? Because God He's an artist. And when we understand what we have, when we come to Jesus, we understand that when we come before him, there is beauty, there is glory in his tabernacle where we meet with him. Because he's above all. There's no pleasure. And again, here we are in the church. Here we are coming to worship together. Why are you still looking in the world? Coming to church isn't like just a way. It's the way of life. This is it. You found it. Jesus, the answer to everything that ails us is in Jesus. We don't have to go anywhere else. We don't have to look anywhere else. We have Jesus. He is above all. It's a song of supremacy. Have you heard of the song? His Eye is on the Sparrow. It was written by Civility Martin, a pastor's wife, a Harvard-trained pastor's wife, Baptist minister. And she said in the spring of 1905, her husband went to Elmira, New York, and they had a friendship with Mr. and Mrs. Doolittle. And she said they were true saints of God. She had been bedridden, the wife had been bedridden over 20 years. Her husband was an incurable cripple who propelled himself on a wheelchair to go to his business every day. And despite all their afflictions, they were some of the most happy Christian people she had ever met. And she said, one day while they were visiting with the Doolittles, my husband commented on their bright, hopefulness and asked them the secret of the joy in the midst of pain. And Mrs. Doolittle's reply was simple. If his eye is on the sparrow, then I know he's watching me. And she went home and wrote the hymn that we know, that we've all heard. If his eye is on the sparrow, I know he's watching me. You see, it's a song of supremacy. Because if God is supreme, it means he's higher than your pain. He's higher than your trial. He's higher than this barrier that's between you and God. He's higher than your sin. He's supreme in everything in your life. And he is above all. And you can conquer all through him. The Bible says we're more than conquerors through Jesus. Why do we live this defeated life? He is above all. It's a song of supremacy. Then it's a song of worship. Worship. Worship is given value. It's given honor. It's given worth. We talked about that last week in Malachi. We talked about how they dishonored God by offering offerings that were blemished, that were sick, that were inferior. And it showed that they really didn't value God. They really didn't honor God as who he was. But he says in verse 7, give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. You see, part of worship is giving. Part of worship is making God more important than ourselves. In other words, a time when we thought, there's a time that we thought that the sun went around the earth. Now we know the earth goes around the sun. But you know what our problem today is? We think the world goes around us. That we're the most important people on the face of the planet. But that's not true. God is the most important. He is supreme. He's the one we worship. We worship God. And a lot of our defeatism, a lot of our negativity, a lot of our depression today, a lot of our negative thoughts come from we think we're too important. We think, you know, people talk about lack of self-esteem. I say we have too much self-esteem. I mean, look at young people, right? They'll sit there and take 1,000 pictures in 3 seconds. Like, who cares? You got 3 followers on TikTok. Nobody cares about your pictures. He's the one that's the most important. He's the one to be worshiped. Verse 8, give to the Lord the glory, do his name, bring an offering, and come into his courts. Worship, it's a song of worship. Now, we had a suggestion, and if you're not on the list, see Eunice to get connected with Breeze, but they sent out a list this week. Like Monday or Tuesday, we got a list of all the worship songs, set list. So you can listen to them. And you can come to church prepared to what? Thank you. Good. All right. Next week when you guys are playing, you shut the instruments down. Let's see how we can sing. So we can become prepared. Verse 9, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Interesting that when a football player almost dies on the field, what do? What did everybody do? They prayed. When Tim Tebow used to pray, they criticized him and, oh, he's too religious. And when that football player, by the way, who's a Christian, has a good testimony, he almost died on the field. They were so emotionally overcome, they couldn't play the game. They even had a commentator on ESPN pray live on the air. You never hear, when these tragedies come, you don't hear the atheists. They're crickets. You don't hear the, no, we can't pray, no prayer. Why? Because God has created within us this desire to worship. And we worship all kinds of things except the supreme God. So it's a song of worship. But worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Tremble before him. When we meet Jesus, and we have Isaiah 6, we have Revelation 1, we have Acts 9, when people were confronted with the glory of God, where were they? Where did they end up? On the ground, on their knees, tremble before him. Then it's a song of hope. It's a song of hope. It's a song of renewal, song of supremacy, song of worship. And then it's a song of hope. Notice verse 10. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. A buzzword today is justice or social justice. Even this morning, as I opened up the Fox News, they're talking about we got to retrain the referees because they missed all these calls. And if you remember a few years ago, I think it was in New Orleans State, I mean, the guy got tackled, like literally got tackled before the ball came and they didn't call pass interference. So they said, we got to make this right. So the next year, they said, we're going to make these calls reviewable. And that was a disaster. Man's righteousness is always disaster. Man's justice is always a disaster because man is corrupt. He's not a righteous judge. Praise God, we have a pretty good system, not perfect. I can never forget talking to Sean. We had a little boy in our church, 8 years old, and he got run over by a car and from a little village. And the dad was devastated. I can remember being in his apartment in that village, and he just showing me Mano's notebooks. And but you know what the thing that killed him? The kid that did it, because his parents were rich, was still driving in the village. And it was the second person that he had hit and killed. But there was no justice because they had money. Won't work with God. He said, he shall judge the peoples righteously. That's a hope. God is a righteous judge. And listen, I don't get, people can deny God, make fun of God. They can do all that they want. But you know what I have on my side? Time. Time. Nobody's escaped death. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, Hebrews 9:27, and after that, the judgment. Nobody will escape the justice of God. Verse 11, let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in its fullness. Verse 12, let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees in the woods will rejoice before the Lord. Again, he's referring to God. He's referring to worship. He's referring to God's creation. And in God's creation, we see the hope, because in creation, there's always renewal. We see it in New England every year. We see everything die. And in the spring, it comes back. Before you know it, there'll be green grass and there'll be leaves. And there'll be tomatoes and cucumbers. And a renewal. There's always renewal with God. That's why it's a song of hope. That's why we should never let anything steal our song. We have the hope of eternity. We have the hope of the promises of God. We have the hope of the truth of the scriptures. Notice verse 13. For he is coming. For he's coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the peoples with his truth. Truth. With his truth. Because when the books are open, and when God opens the books, there's not going to be any fudging. There's not going to be any bribes. There's not going to be any misprints. Because when the books have opened, God's righteous judgment will come through. That's hope. That's hope. Hope that God is coming back, that God will make things right, that as messed up as this world is today, there's still hope. There's hope today. If you go to 2 Peter chapter 3, it talks about the second coming, and it talks about that when God will come. But it says a very interesting verse. It says that God's coming of judgment is waiting for one thing. He's saying, and he's holding back because he's waiting for the last person to repent and come to Jesus. God could do justice today. We say, God, do something. I don't know if we want that. He could right now, but he's waiting for you. He's waiting for you this morning. He's waiting to give you a new song. And that new song comes when you come to know Jesus as your personal Savior. Nicodemus was a religious person, and he came to Jesus by night, and Jesus said, except a man be born again. He didn't say, except a man do 10 things. He didn't say, except a man go to the temple every week. He didn't say, except a man follow the 10 commandments. No, he talked about, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. It's this renewal of the new birth. If you're struggling with sin, if you're trying to do right and can't just make it, maybe there's not. Do you remember a day? I remember October 1983, in my room when I accepted Jesus. I remember it today clearly. When did you come to know Jesus? That's a song. Yeah, God gives you that song of renewal. When he changes us. Maybe this morning you've let Satan steal your song. Maybe you've let others steal your song. Somebody did something, or there's something that they didn't treat you right or something. Listen, you can't let anybody steal your song. Or maybe you failed and you think, God doesn't accept me and I messed up and I keep trying, I keep messing up. No. Song of renewal. It's a song of hope. It's a song of worship. It's a song of supremacy. He is above all and he can give you victory and he still loves you and he still forgives you and he still, when he got his eyes off Jesus and started sinking, what did Jesus do? He reached out his hand. That's what Jesus is doing this morning. He's reaching out his hand to you and saying, I want to pick you back up. And I want to give you your song back. Let's stand and pray this morning.